Well, as I have mentioned to you before, as I've gotten older, I feel contractually obligated to be more and more invested into World War II and researching it and looking into it. And so over the holidays, we had an opportunity to travel just a little bit. It gave me an opportunity to revisit a book that I'd read before, but I wanted to read it again. It's a book called Band of Brothers. It was actually made into a miniseries on HBO. But this book, The Band of Brothers, was written by an author who took all of the journal entries and diary entries of the men and those that survived and did face-to-face interviews with these men, and he took their stories and built the narrative of one company, Easy Company of the 101st Airborne Division, and their entire journey from their training at Camp Tocoa in Georgia all the way to the invasion in Normandy and all the way to the end of the war where they took over Hitler's lair, his retreat center in the south of Germany. And he's weaving this incredible story together. And to me, it's one of the most fascinating, maybe possibly nerdy things that you could read. But my imagination is like taken with thinking on and hearing the leadership and sacrifice and the incredible duty of these men to give their lives to advance freedom. And I don't know, I'm sure you have read books, whether they were fiction or nonfiction stories, that also gripped you in a unique way, where the story that was before you was allowing you to be able to think on themes that were incredible, narratives that kind of grab a hold of you and tell a story that is somehow meaningful to you, meaningful to the ways that you think about life, because those words get spoken and we get to read those things. They're put together, they paint this picture that's fascinating, it's enveloping, and you end up following characters, you end up following these people through moment by moment, and you're watching them, and they don't know the whole story, meaning they don't have the 30,000-foot view of where they're going, but you're watching them intently make unique decisions moment by moment, chapter by chapter. And as the stories unfold, their ideas, their thoughts, their decisions that they make on a regular basis have great impact for chapters down the road. There's a story that's being unveiled. They can't see the whole story, but even as they go through, as they step into each moment, it has impact for the days ahead, and you see their kindness or bravery and how it manifests down the road, or you find them responding out of resentment or hurt and how it harms them maybe even down the road, their victories or their defeats in each of these moments, what it means for themselves down the road, but they can't see it. And what I just want to submit to us today is that every one of us has a story that is being written. And the beauty of a quote-unquote new year is the opportunity to just take a moment to step back and be reminded that we're stepping into today a new chapter, that 2026 is a brand new chapter for your story. And you and I don't know where the thing is headed. We might have an idea of where things are going. And in fact, we might even like to try to be in control, but you and I don't have the 30,000-foot view, do we? We're in the middle of it and we're walking through every day, even I'd say mundane moments. And it's easy to forget we have a story that's being written right now, each and every day. Now we're in the middle of like daily things like taking out the trash, and daily drop-offs at school, and renewing your vehicle registration. These are really compelling parts of our lives, right? And it's easy to forget in the middle of these mundane, everyday moments that in and through the midst of it, a story is being written. the story of our lives. If you took a moment, and this is what we get to do at this time of year, to just think back on 2025, to think back on your story, inevitably you will see things that you got to experience and be a part of. Some of them were from decisions that you made, places that you decided to go or experiences you decided to have. But many things you experienced in 2025, you weren't looking for. You weren't asking for. You didn't know they were coming. They were outside of your control. Some of them were really great things. Some of them were really hard things. Some led to fun. Some led to hardship. You were helped by some people, maybe in some great ways, or you were cared for by some people in ways that you didn't expect. Or maybe you were harmed or hurt by some people this past year. You had great victories, great defeats. You experienced some great relational blessings, and you might have experienced some really relational hard things. That is the reality if when we take a moment to look back on 2025, but they are our stories. There was a story written. And the question that I just want to have with us together this morning as you get into this new chapter, what will be the narrative? What will be the story over your life? And we step into a brand new year. What's the story? What's the narrative? What's going to be spoken over you as you experience the highs and lows and the challenges and the difficulties and the things that you can't control and the things where you do have to make decisions? Who's forming the narrative? Who's crafting the story? What will be the words that guide you this year? Who's going to sit at the center of your story? Who or what will define you as you walk through this next year? There's a chapter that's about to be written. And we can passively just kind of get through it, or we can begin to ask the question, who gets to write the story this year? Because inevitably, if you're here this morning, or you're listening online, you are here with some thought, some possibility that God might be the one who could be the narrator, the writer of the story, the one who could write the narrative of our lives. Might it be that God has some things for you this year? That maybe in the past you sought to be in control of, and we get to turn our hands over and say, God, not this year. This year belongs to you. Or maybe you've been in some places where the enemy has set in and tried to create a narrative or a story over your life, and God is saying, I'm ready to take over this part of your life. I'm ready to take over this part of your story. Who gets to call the shots? Is it you? Is it the enemy? Or is there an incredible Father who has a narrative for 2026 for you that is far beyond what you could write for yourself? And the truth is this, we're all stirred by stories. The problem is to not believe that you don't have this incredible story that is meant to be written for this year, to be on the sidelines, to not be engaged with what God wants to write about you and over you and to you and through you this year. So the question becomes, how does God begin to own the narrative over our lives? What would it look like for God to begin to define what this year could be, what he wants to say and speak over us. And I just want to take a few moments here to get into the Word of God, to have an idea of what He wants to and the ways that He wants to define our lives. And then we're just going to take the end of our time here to let the Lord speak to us. Meaning, instead of like doing a church service, like give space to the God of the universe to breathe over us and declare over us what He wants to speak over us and call us into. We can do that here on Sunday, but what's great is that you can do that on a Monday morning and a Tuesday afternoon. We can be present with this God who's ready to speak to us. And so the question is, all right, well, how does God begin to write the narrative? How does He begin to call the shots? And I just want to give us a couple things. Number one, God defines for you and for me what is true. God gets to define what is true this year. As the church was coming into existence, Jesus came in the flesh, gave His life, ascended to the Father, sent His Holy Spirit to empower us to begin to live out. As God was doing that, it was an incredibly humbling experience for the God of the universe to say, I'm no longer going to reside in a temple out there somewhere, but I will make my home inside of you. And there's this encouragement that comes through the Holy Spirit to the church. And He says, you're going to have to keep your eyes open because there's many narratives, many stories, many expressions of truths. But there's only one and lasting and real truth. And so the Spirit of God inhabits this apostle named Paul, this follower of Jesus, who is writing a letter to another follower of Jesus named Timothy. And he says, there's a temptation for you to listen to many other narratives about your life. And you have to watch out. You're there in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And here's what Paul says. He says, listen, Timothy, this is what the Spirit of God would say to us. In fact, I don't think that there could be anything more prevalent in 2025 than this sentence. For a time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, helpful teaching. But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Today, there are more voices, more, if you will, truths that are being espoused from all over the place, purported to be this way and that way. Hundreds and thousands of messages, images, ads, voices that are speaking to us now, more now than ever before. Political, philosophical, all kinds of voices all the time. And the question is, what actually aligns with the truth? God is the one who defines what is true, and that will be so critical as we step into this new chapter, as our story is being written. Who gets to tell you what is true? How do we know what is true? Everybody's got thoughts. Everybody's got ideas. Everybody's putting them out constantly. How do we know what is true? In fact, a disciple, Thomas, had the exact same question. He asked Jesus, how do we know the way? How do we know, like, where you're going, right from wrong? How do we know? And Jesus gives the most profound answer, maybe one of the most popular scriptures that we know of if you've gotten to grow up in church. Jesus answers this question, like, how do we know what is true? And Jesus said to him, let me tell you, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. and no one will see, no experience the Father except through me. In other words, it doesn't matter what you see with your eyes, what is true are the words of this King. And they are defining for your life. They are defining for my life. And I would even just pose to you this morning, how true is this for you? His words defining for every way you experience and every way you think and live and walk in this life. Inevitably, you and I will have all kinds of different circumstances in 2026. Some of them you're looking forward to. Some of them you have no idea is coming. And we could live in fear and try to be in control, or we could look at this King who is the way and the truth and the life and ask the question, who gets to define the scope of our lives and the narrative over us this year? Who gets to call the shots? Let me tell you the incredible freedom that comes when you don't have to call the shots. The incredible rest you can experience in 2026 when you don't have to call the shots. When the one who is the way and the truth and the life can define for you so that your heart can be at rest. Jesus is the one, God is the one who defines truth for us. And not only does he define what is true, but he defines who I am. Defines who we are. You want to talk about real freedom to step into with confidence and courage into 2026? This is where it will start. I don't know anybody that is like longing to be fretful in their lives. I don't know anybody that's waking up on a Tuesday morning going, I hope that I'm really scared today. You know, no one's walking that way. We all want to what? Step in with confidence. We want to walk in fullness. We want to experience something real with our families and the community around us. We want to mean something to the places that we go to. We want to mean something to the relationships we have around us. How do we step into that with real confidence? It's when this King, who is the way, truth, and life, speaks his words over you and defines who you are. So it's not your job defining you, and it's not your relational connections defining you. It is the words of the King. That's what gives you confidence. What do you believe about yourself? What do you believe about yourself? When you look in the mirror, do you see broken, weak, frail? What do you see when you look at yourself? And does the one who is the way, the truth, and the life get to call the shots? Does he get to have the narrative over you? It's a game changer. Where is your source of confidence? Who's the bedrock of how you see yourself, the words that you speak over yourself? We often will put our hope in looks or what we do or who we know. But the reality is, you want to walk in fullness. You and I need the defining word of God over us today. Today. And for clarity, you will need something fresh for tomorrow. And February 7th, just picking a random day, there that is. You're gonna need something fresh every day. This King has it all ready to give, ready to speak fullness and life over each one of us. I'm amazed, by the way, at the ways we will speak about ourselves, ways we will define ourselves that have nothing to do with what God would speak over us. Nothing. I hear people say this stuff about themselves all the time. I'd be the first to say, I've spoken some of this stuff over myself. You ever said, I'm a control freak? You ever said that? Don't raise your hand, all right? You ever said that? I'm a control freak. We sometimes say it in jest, joking. But underneath the joking is the need to control. And so we kind of joke about it, but the reality is we live our lives wanting to control. And my question is that what the Father says about you? You're a control freak. Are those the Father's words over you? Not for a second. You want to confess, I have some fear and I like to be in control of some things. All right, when we go on road trips, I drive, right? I understand control, right? I get it. I understand these things. But it's better to confess it and say it. I have some fear about some things that are in front of me and I wish I could control, but I'm not, but I know the one who is. And I know what he says about me. I'm not a control freak. I'm a son or I'm a daughter of the Most High God. This is who I am. Or I don't have much discipline. Or I'll always be this way. Church, if those words are coming out of your mouth, I am asking you to begin to let God define who you are. And to stop partnering with the voice of the enemy to keep you bound up. And if you've got those thoughts, it's time to what the scripture calls confess. And what that means is just agree. The stuff that I've been saying is broken. It's not true. It's not right. And to repent, meaning come back home and to hear what the Father has to say over my life, not what the enemy has to say, not what that broken relationship has to say about me. Candidly, sometimes we have even kind people, good people, loving people who don't always speak what is true of the Father's heart over us. It's why we have to know what is true. It's why we have to incline our ear to the truth so that we can receive everything God wants to give to us as he's writing our story. That's what he wants to do. And the reality is what God wants to craft in you and what he wants to build in you and what he wants to create in you and places he wants to take you. It may not all happen overnight. In fact, I'd generally say most of it won't happen overnight. It are seeds that are planted that are growing gloriously and beautifully to lead us into fullness. But it takes day in and day out receiving. Ephesians 2, Jesus says, we're his poetry, workmanship, poema is the word. We are the poetry of God created in Christ Jesus to do beautiful things. So get into it. Confidence. You can't get into Ephesians 2 until you know who you are. So he defines what is true and he defines who we are. And then he defines where we're going. So God gets to 2026 belongs to the Lord. Like this chapter of your life. I'm not sure what happened in the 2025 chapter of your life, but I know this 2026 chapter can be full of his goodness, even in the challenges and hardships. He defines where we're going. 550 years before Jesus would come onto the scene, Israel found themselves from their rebellion, from turning away from God. They had been exiled, taken away out of their home. They were in Babylon. They were struggling. They were stuck. They did not see a way forward. They didn't have the 30,000-foot view of their lives. They were in the middle of hardship and pain. They didn't know where they were going to be able to go. They didn't see what God had for them. So God, so loving, so kind, so merciful, sends a prophet named Isaiah to declare the truth over them, even though they can't see it. He sends Isaiah to say, here's what I will do for you and with you if you will trust me. In Isaiah 43, it says, behold, or wake up. Wake up. I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you see it? Do you perceive it? Meaning, is your ear inclined? Are you opened up? Is it possible that 2026 could be very different? I'll make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you see it? Do you hear it? Do you perceive it? Are you inclined? I've got meaning. I have something new. That's what he was doing for Israel in that day. That is what he is doing for you and I right now. What does he have? Is your ear inclined to go get it with him and from him, or to sit idly on the sidelines and miss these words that will change our lives? So my question is, do you believe God can do a new thing this year? Do you believe that he'll do a new thing in you, through you, with you, to touch the world around you? That's the question. What are the words that are defining for your life, my life? And even as I preach this, I'm like, God, I want to be so inclined. I want to repent for the ways that I want to try to be in control. I feel the tendency, just like Paul was talking to Timothy. What sounds good? What are the itching ears? What I want to hear? No, what do you have to say? We can put down the phones for a moment. We can put down the lies for a moment. We can put down the temptations for a moment to say, God, what do you want to say over my life? What do you have to say to me and over me and about me so that I can step into Monday morning with some confidence? And that's what we all want. That's the longing of the human heart. God will give it to us. I'm gonna ask our team to come up and just, we're gonna give us some space to actually experience this with God. And so we have a moment to be able just to worship. So our team is gonna worship, but we're gonna do something a little bit different. Just gonna create some space. So you can stand if you wanna stand, you can sit if you wanna sit. We're a little bit elbow to elbow here, this service is full. But if you need to move, move. Just shove the person out of the way that's next to you. But do what you have to do. Because we've got 20 minutes or so, 25 minutes to just encounter this God who wants to speak over you. And over the next couple of weeks, we're just gonna be talking about how the word will touch and change and transform us from the inside out. The words of God are powerful and able and effective to move our lives, but they won't if we're not inclining our ear, meaning inviting. Actively inviting, say, God, what do you say over me this year? I know what 2025 was. But Lord, what do you want to say? That's the question I just want you to ask. Our team's going to worship and they're going to sing some, but they might just leave some space for you. And it might even feel weird, like they're playing music, but they're not singing anything. So you like we go into church services sometimes, like, get to the next song. It's like, no. We're not doing the next. Just hang with Jesus together, worship, and ask this King who is the way, the truth, and the life, what do you want to say over my heart and my life for this chapter? You get to write the story. You get to write my story this year. Because some of you are here and you're sitting under heavy, heavy condemnation, shame, and guilt, and you need the Father's voice over you. Some of you are here with a mountain in front of you. You don't know how you're going to face it, and you need the Father's voice over you. Some of you are here with challenges and hardship and pain. You need the voice. You don't need Keith's voice. You need the voice of Jesus. And what does he want to say to you? Will you ask him? So just, we're going to give some space for to sing, to sit. If you need to move, move. You need to bow, bow. You want to stand in worship, stand in worship. And how about we just be gracious with each other for whatever it is that you need to do, but let's connect with this King and what he wants to speak over your life to write this chapter for you this year. Father, this is your moment. Would you speak powerfully over us for everyone who's got the guts to ask you right now, Lord, what do you want to say about me? What is your word over me? What are your words over me? I pray you would speak to them, Spirit of the living God, who's here to make the word alive. We worship you, we honor you, we magnify you, we glorify you, because you are the way, the truth, and the life. And there is no way to you, Father, but through your Son. We thank you that you're here even now, Spirit of God. Lead us in worship, we ask.